Well, dear saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So were you paying attention during the gospel reading? Because Jesus teaches us something remarkable about faith. The same faith that you have. He teaches us about the power of faith. What faith does. Did you hear the very last line of the gospel reading, what Jesus said to the healed leper, right? He says this, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." That's what his faith did. The power of faith. Jesus, if you weren't paying attention, Jesus sends these 10 lepers, right? The 10 lepers were crying out to Jesus that he would have mercy on them because they had this horrible, painful, ugly skin condition that ruined their lives and made them outcasts. And so they call out from a distance in a loud voice, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And did you see what Jesus did? He sends them to the temple. Before he even heals them, he sends them to the temple. And so they take Jesus at his word that they can go to the temple. Now, what were they going to do at the temple? A leper or somebody who was in some way sick or diseased had to go to the temple once they thought they were healed, and they had to be declared clean. And not only clean in a holy way, and not only clean in a way that they were for sure healed from their condition, but also spiritually clean. And not only that, but also clean in the community. They could be part of the people again. So before they are even healed, they're on their way to the temple so the priests would look at them and declare them clean. They had to take Jesus at his word, that his word was good enough to know that by the time they got there, they would be healed. So Jesus sends the 10 lepers to the temple, and on their way, what happens? They're healed. And wouldn't you know it, one of the 10 lepers, a Samaritan, right? Who are the Samaritans? They're like the no good for nothings people, right? Right? Like the ones from Ohio, right? I'm joking. If you're from Ohio, I love you, all right? The Samaritan turns back to Jesus. And I love how it builds this up, right? If you read this passage again, it says, he turned back praising God and thanking Jesus. Who is he treating Jesus as? God. He believes that Jesus is God. And he goes back to Jesus and he gives him thanks. Now, there might have been two reasons why this one turned back to Jesus. And maybe the first reason you might think of is, well, he's a good-for-nothing Samaritan. He would not be permitted inside the temple. And so where is he going to go? But maybe that led him to the second thought, and probably the more important point. He realized that he had direct access to God himself. He didn't need to go to the temple. He didn't need to go to the priest who would be the go-between between God and him. He realized, doy, I just got healed by God himself. What am I going to the temple for? I've got the greatest high priest that I just saw. And so in faith, he goes back to the source himself, and Jesus affirms his choice to come back to him. Your faith has made you well. Now the word that in Greek that Jesus says there comes from the word sozo. All right, can you go ahead and say that together? Sozo. All right, that means to be made well. But it also means not only to be healed, but to save. So when Jesus says this, he's saying your faith has sozoed you. Your faith has made you well, but also your faith has saved you. Sozo. And this kind of got me thinking. What is faith capable of? What does faith do for you? What does God, the faith that God himself gives you, what is faith capable of? What is its power? Because here, Jesus says your faith sozos, saves. And it kind of got me thinking. I think that sometimes we don't think of faith in a pure biblical way. Here's what I mean by that. Sometimes I think that folks have faith in faith itself. You know what I'm saying? That it doesn't really matter what your faith is in, so long as you are a person of faith, right? And they believe that somehow, just by having faith, you'll be a better person. Or you will be a friendlier person or a holier person somehow. You know what I'm saying? And the problem with that is that then it doesn't really matter what the faith is in. It just matters that you have faith at all. And that's not a biblical faith. Because what that's believing is that the power of faith comes from you. And if that's true, then it doesn't matter what you have faith in. It only matters that you have some sort of faith at all. So faith is not just faith in itself. But also, faith is not fuel. Right? I think that sometimes Christians have this kind of a mindset that faith is a fuel of some kind. And it comes from God, and it fills us up. And eventually, your tank can start to run empty. And so what do you need? You need to fill up with that fuel again, right? And the belief there is that faith is such that the more you have, the more saved you are, or the more you have, the holier you are. And so it's still measuring something inside of you, right? It might come from the outside, but you feel like eventually you might run out or you won't have enough, and so you have to keep on filling it up, right? And I'm not sure that that's quite a biblical idea. And then there's one more here, and this one pains me to say, all right, as a Star Wars fan, but faith is not the Force, right? Faith is not the Force, so that the more you have, or the more you're tapped into faith, the more you might experience the divine, or the more you might experience miracles, right? Sometimes I hear Christians talk in a way that makes me think that we're like X-Men, right? Like, oh, I've got so much faith that now I've got a new spiritual ability or a spiritual gift, and now I can like do things and do new things, right? And they are measuring faith. And so if faith is fuel, they're measuring it in themselves. If it's tapping into the faith Force, they're measuring it against other people, right? And it all has to focus on what power we have in ourselves and what power of faith does in ourselves. And friends, I'm not sure that that's how the Bible talks about faith. And I think if you think of faith as faith in itself, or faith as fuel, or faith as if it's the Force, those are harmful ways to think about faith. Because they all measure faith by how well your life is going. How good your life is. Whether it's life out in the world or how good you think your spiritual life is going. And I'm not sure that the Bible talks about faith that way. Because here's the thing, friends. If faith somehow relies on you, or relies on how good your life is going, or how much faith you have, you are underestimating faith's power. You are actually making the power of faith smaller. You don't realize how good you have it and how powerful your faith actually is. Because faith's power does not come from you. Who does it come from? The Lord, God, the Holy Spirit. That's where faith's power comes from. Faith is the Lord's connection to you. And I'm saying it that way on purpose because I think that we often think of it the other way around, don't we? That faith is the Lord's connection to, that faith is our connection to the Lord. And then that makes us want to think, all right, well, how much faith do I have? Am I connected enough to the Lord? Have I done enough? Boy, how do I measure if I'm connected enough to the Lord? But if we think about faith that way, we're not recognizing where the power of faith comes from. And how good you have it and how comforting it is. Faith is the Lord's connection to you that you can rely on, that you can depend on. You know, in the story, in the gospel reading, there is these 10 lepers, right? And they ask Jesus for mercy because they assumed that he was connected to them. Right? Why would they cry out to Jesus for mercy? Do you think that they thought that he had the power to heal them? Yeah. Do you think that they thought that he knew what their situation was? That they didn't have to each go in for a physical by Jesus and get evaluated and diagnosed, right? And have test results come back, right? They assumed that not only did Jesus have the power to heal them, but that Jesus knew who they were and that Jesus knew their situation, right? And not only that, but they assumed that he cared about them. That not only did he have the power to heal them, and not only did he know what was wrong with them, but they also assumed that he cared and might actually want to have mercy on them. The 10 lepers assumed, rightly, that Jesus was connected to them. And that is why, in faith, they cry out for mercy. Lord God, have mercy on us. And then for that one Samaritan that turned back, he had a faith that knew his status from the Lord. He put two and two together. Whoa, if it's true that Jesus knew my situation and was powerful to save me and also cared about me, what does that mean for me and what God thinks of me? My status before God himself. And so the Samaritan assumed, rightly, that his status was equal to that of even the Jews and that he could stand in the presence of God. And that Samaritan assumed, rightly, that God had given him the eyes of faith, the privilege of identifying God himself in this human being, Jesus. And the Samaritan assumed, rightly, that he could stand in the presence of God himself in Jesus because he was favored by God. Talk about the power of faith, right? Dear Christian, your faith is powerful. Your faith does something for you. And it's not because of you and what you are capable of. And it's not because you have a certain amount of faith, whether that be a full tank or a mustard seed size. And it's not because, unfortunately, you're not tapped into the force, right? Even though that'd be really cool. Friends, the power of faith can even be the size of a mustard seed because the power doesn't come from you. It's the Lord's connection to you. It gives you power. Which means it doesn't mean that you had to have life going a certain way to be good. Your life could be going off the rails. It could be horrible. Your spiritual life could be in the garbage. And if you've got a mustard seed sized faith, faith does the exact same things for you that it does for the holiest person you know. And that also means that on your bad days, faith does the same thing for you as it does on your best days. Because here's what faith does for you. Faith is the Lord's connection to you. And it does not require a go-between. Not a temple, not a priest, not even a pastor. You are connected directly with direct access to the Lord Himself. And it's a relationship that the Lord has with you that you can depend on. Just like a baby does to its mom, right? A baby just assumes that the mom cares and that the baby can depend on mom for poopy diapers, right? And baby bottles, right? And to even put the baby to sleep. Your faith just assumes that you can depend on the Lord. And here's the other beautiful power of faith, is that faith is the sole requirement for a relationship with God. You don't have to impress God with all the good things that you do. You don't have to impress God with all the sins that you avoid. It's faith alone. Faith is the only requirement for that beautiful connection to God. And here's another thing faith does. That faith alone is not only good enough for a connection to God that you can depend on, but faith alone is enough for full forgiveness and pardon of all of your sins. Faith alone is enough to be saved for eternity. And with no conditions or strings attached. It's unconditional. It's not faith and only so long as. No. It's faith, period. And that's enough to forgive even the worst of sins. Fully. And every single one. Which is beautiful because faith does something else. Faith ties your eternal journey to Jesus' journey. So that it's by faith that you are buried with Jesus in a tomb. It's by faith that you were nailed to the cross with Jesus. It's by faith that you died to your sin with Jesus. And it's by faith that you were raised again from the dead with Jesus. And that means that your faith, dear Christian, one day will blossom into eternal life. You're going to have an Easter just like Jesus' Easter. Which also means this. Faith makes you part of God's people. Just like the Samaritan had the same status before Jesus as the rest of the Jews, faith makes you part of God's people. Not your conduct, not your ethnicity, not how honorable you are, not because you are more sanctified than others, not even because you're not from Ohio. You are a saint. And faith, dear Christian, because that's all true for you, gives you power, it gives you eyes to recognize the presence of God Himself in Jesus. And so when Jesus says to be baptized, because in baptism you receive the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you receive faith, you recognize that you receive Jesus there. And when Jesus says, take and eat, this is my body, and take and drink, this is my blood, you, dear Christian, have the eyes of faith to recognize where God is. Friends, this is why God is worthy of worship. This is why the Samaritan turned back and worshiped Jesus, because you know that He is God. And God could be known to you because of how powerful He is and how mighty and glorious He is. But do you know how God chooses to be known to you? By what He does for you. By His connection to you. By His care for you. By what He does for you. He proves Himself to be your God by being your God and saving you. And that's what faith does. It recognizes Jesus as worthy of worship as God because of what He has accomplished for you. And that, dear Christian, is why Jesus says also to you, rise and go your way. Your faith has sozoed you. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you. So in Jesus' name, amen.